It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe
so
out.
So Mike called in.
It was time, number nine, let the lies be lying.
And he wants to talk about the latest. And these have all happened in the last week. Has it been less than 7 days that it's these first take guys have run afoul? Well, the Shannon Sharpe thing happened time ago. But
the news was yesterday.
But the consequences of the settlement and the accusations made by the former OnlyFans model. She's retiring thanks to the bag that she just got. She didn't say that explicitly, but we can all figure it out. Much like we know that the Big Mac is bad for you, we know why she's no longer doing the OnlyFans thing. She got a bag from Shannon Sharpe, allegedly. So he gets fired by ESPN. Marcus Morris, writing bad checks, he has come out and defended himself on social media. And the latest is a guy Mike wants to talk about. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Del. Hey, first off, about the McDonald's guy, like that, I think a good way to describe him is he looks like someone who would take videos on Snapchat of him vaping, like thinking that's cool.
Yes, that's correct.
You know what I mean? Like selfie video of him like throwing up like a peace sign while vaping.
It's dead on.
Can do a ring with the smoke. Yeah,
yeah, he can do tricks. Yeah,
yeah. But the Gilbert Arenas thing. So what is so weird? I know. Listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but when it comes to sports, there's a lot of weird things, right? So a week ago, Gilbert Arenas was making fun, okay, of Jeff Teague saying that he had to backtrack on the whole LeBron thing about the steroids and ha ha ha, like you had to call him daddy and oh, daddy called and you can't talk about Bronny and you can't talk about LeBron. I know that's Sean's favorite player, but like when it comes to like you literally can't say anything about LeBron. And y'all were talking about this a couple weeks ago of like, why does no one, like, why do they think that we have to bow down to like Caitlin Clark if you're another WNBA player? But in the NBA for the past 10 years, if you don't bow down to LeBron, there are serious consequences. And this is so weird timing that he immediately comes out and makes fun of the people for saying LeBron was on steroids. And then out of nowhere, he gets to with this gambling thing. I don't call it coincidence. I just think it's really, really weird timing because Gilbert Arenas has never held his tongue on anything. You know what I mean? He just doesn't care. So I don't know. I think that was a really weird thing. Like why now are they just bringing out on him? They, you know, there was no mention. There was nothing like that. You know, I truly think that LeBron is like the mafia head of the NBA. I think you can't, just like some of the musicians have to thank Beyonce when they win the award. Everyone has to say thank you to LeBron every time they do something. Anyways, that was it. That's all I was bringing up. Thanks, Del.
Appreciate it, Mike. Another shot at Sean. That rivalry continues. But Gilbert Arenas is a big Laker fan. Loves LeBron. I don't think, even if you're right, I do think LeBron wields a lot of power in the NBA. I don't think you're wrong there. But is it to the level where he can get people arrested and get the feds involved? While I appreciate any conspiracy theory, we will take them all and listen to them, and then we will dissect whether we believe in them or not. I do not believe LeBron would care enough to do that, considering, particularly when it comes to Gilbert Arenas, or has the power to get the feds on Gilbert Arenas when he is alleged to have set up or helped set up poker games that involve Israeli, was it the Israeli people, part of the Israeli mob? Is that the part, that's part of the accusation?
I believe it was organized crime.
Organized crime. So maybe they don't call it the mob, but Israeli organized crime.
Yeah.
I don't think LeBron is involved, partly because Gilbert Arenas doesn't say bad things about LeBron. That dude, as you said, was going after Jeff Teague for going after LeBron and Bronny, or at least particularly LeBron and the joking allegation of LeBron using steroids. So, yes, Gilbert Arenas, Shannon Sharpe, Marcus Morris all have appeared on First Take.
Yeah.
The
real conspiracy.
In the last year or so, and all of them have suffered fates they didn't expect. Now, Gilbert Arenas was very joyful after he was released. He has since been released since he was arrested and said they couldn't hold him. Actually, you're just out on bail. That's all that was.
You made like $200 million playing basketball.
Yeah, you were able to pay the bond. They didn't just release you. He pleaded not guilty. He pled not guilty. He is going to trial. Trial is scheduled for September 23rd. So he's not free and clear, despite what he did on social media after he had his bail set or got out on bail. Excuse me. His lawyer said something pretty funny. They asked him about Gilbert Arenas, and he said he hadn't had much time to speak with his client. He's presumed innocent, right? So the lawyer's going, hey, don't make any judgments. My client is innocent.
Not my problem. I'm not going to be on the jury.
Well, you may have to convince a jury, sir. Oh, you mean you're not going to be on the jury?
Yeah, no, literally not. Like, I don't have to think like that.
Yeah.
I can think whatever I want.
It's true. It's unlikely that either one of us will be on the jury. So if I want to feel like he's guilty without any facts, I can say that he's guilty. Doesn't matter. I'm not.
Here's my conspiracy theory.
My conspiracy theory is
Gilbert Arenas, for the second time, has faced consequences for illegally gambling. The first time was when Jarvis Crittenden pulled a gun on him.
Yeah.
In the Wizards locker room.
And this one involves a high level member of Israeli organized crime. Kwame Brown was celebrating the downfall yesterday of Shannon Sharpe and Gilbert Arenas.
I mean, Kwame Brown just like, now, how many more guys need to get arrested before he's on First Take? You know?
I don't know if he
chaos
said
is the ladder.
It depends. I think Stephen A. Smith has been less than complimentary to Kwame Brown, so I'm not sure.
When
Kwame Brown was actually a thing.
For 25 years? Oh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if he's ever said anything complimentary about Kwame Brown.
I think the famous clip of him going, like, he can't play, was about Kwame Brown.
I believe you're right. So the one connection is Stephen A. Smith. So between all three of the guys who are either going through real legal issues or been fired because of legal issues, you're doing the Brian Windhorst fingers. Understood.
So another guy on First Take who's not been arrested yet.
Okay. Now, the Brian Windhorst has never been a high-level athlete at any point, which is another thing that bonds all three of them together. So maybe that keeps him out of the line of fire when it comes to being on First Take and then suffering some legal problems. I don't know who's next.
Michael Irvin. Oh, wait.
He's had his issues, but he is free and clear currently.
Yes, and on FS1.
Yes, he's got a job.
I mean, honestly, if you're FS1, you're like, hell yeah.
And you got to be someone who isn't.
A lot of talent's in the portal.
Well, we'll see if FS1 takes advantage, because Shannon Sharpe was once on that network himself
on
until
FS1.
He left.
No skip now, so hey.
Yeah, well, Nick Wright's their new star, so. We will see who's next, because we know it comes in threes, but will we get a Mount Rushmore of First Take contributors who wind up in real trouble with the law? And it can't be like a full-time ESPN employee. It can't be Windhorst or Ryan Clark, who would fit the profile, but he's one of their guys.
Yeah.
He's hired.
I feel like he's also more of an NFL Live guy.
That's true. He's currently on NFL Live right now. Looks like no, that's First Take. Rerun of First Take. But yes, you're right. He is.
He's like every day on NFL Live. He's on every once in a while on First Take, because First Take is just Molly, Stephen A., and then like a rotating cast.
True.
So a rotating cast that included three guys that have now, I'll say, been accused of felonies.
I was just trying to think of a guy who doesn't have, like, not that I know any of their deals, but you would say doesn't have an actual long-term contract with ESPN, who's more of a mercenary type who they bring on. You might call him a freelancer. I like mercenary.
Yeah, mercenary. Oh, especially given what Gilbert Arenas is into. He probably played a card game with a mercenary once or twice.
Sean, you're talking real reckless about things that you may not want to talk about real reckless about.
Sorry.
Just saying.
At least I'm not saying anything bad about LeBron.
Well,
that's the issue. So
according to Mike, yes, it's LeBron doing these things. Either way, Gilbert Arenas is not in custody right now. He does have a court case coming up soon. We'll see how that plays out.
Yep.
Marcus Morris
also has a court case coming up. He said that he wished the things were like the old Vegas where the mafia handled things.
Well, he's not playing basketball anymore, so they wanted to break his leg. I guess it wouldn't mean as that much.
But imagine being like, I wish the mob would have gotten me instead of the cops.
No, no one wants to deal with the feds, man.
I know, but just, I mean, you know what the mob did to people.
I guess he thinks it wouldn't go.
You'd get off with a warning?
I guess he thinks he wouldn't get buried in the desert. Maybe a hand gets
severed,
hit with a hammer, or gets put in a meat press. I don't know what he thinks would have gone his way.
A kneecap, maybe, would have been lost.
Yeah, he's not. As I said, he doesn't need a knee. He doesn't really need a hand for basketball, how he made his money. I mean, you want a hand just to live life.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But
it'd be easy to tell the difference between the twins.
But maybe he thinks the feds are worse than anything that the mob could do, I guess. Maybe he thinks he's kindred spirits with them, and they could come to some sort of agreement where the feds, he can't, unless, you know, he's got someone to snitch on, which I don't know that he does. And that was what Kwame Brown was talking about, because he was saying, Gilbert.
He got out fast?
He made those comments before he was released. He was like, you know, you can't talk, because if you talk, they got people who can reach you. And I know you don't want to deal with what prison has in store for you, Gilbert. So what you going to do? He was having a good time.
The Gilbert Arenas thing. I think it's messed up that the only two people who we know the either name or occupation of is Gilbert Arenas and this Israeli organized crime.
Whose name I won't mention just because I don't know that he's involved.
No, I don't know. But what I'm saying is give me some more, at least jobs of these people. I want to know the whole crew.
Well,
I want to know, like, there's this guy. And then there's, like, the headlines, it's only these two guys and more.
You wanted, like, a hedge fund guy to be named?
Anyway, I'm just interested in what job, what kind of,
well,
I want to picture the room. I want to close my eyes and, like, there's Gilbert Arenas.
I don't know if the court documents are on Court Listener yet for all the other names involved, because there are sites where you can find out.
Fishmonger.
It's got to be have a membership and pay. But along with the aforementioned named Israeli high-level member of organized crime, there are four other associates who were also indicted and arrested in connection with the alleged illegal business. But we don't know.
Give me the jobs of those four other people, unless they're minors, and then you can't.
Yeah, you can't
say their names.
Maybe they're also high-level members of an Israeli organized crime.
But the one guy, if it was four other guys that are also in the Israeli mob, that's the story. Then is Governor Arenas gambling with the mob.
Maybe these people aren't
organized crime. I'm sorry.
Maybe these people aren't names that grab headlines. So, and their jobs aren't.
Yeah,
names, aren't things that grab headlines.
Throwing Israeli crime family.
Look,
that moves that gets some clicks more than like,
yeah. What would you rather see? Recently viral McDonald's truck driver who rips McDonald's food was arrested as well. With Gilbert Arenas.
Talk to a girl also in these card games.
She had her own issues, but apparently free and clear. Drew, we see you. You want to talk Fantastic Four? Michael Carroll joins us every Friday to talk about things like that. Last week, had he seen it? No, he had not seen it.
I was the only one. And Jong.
Yeah, Jong had seen it. He gave a...
Jong was the only one respected that saw it. I had also seen it.
It's true. Well, that was set up by Michael, and I just went with it. We will see what Michael thinks of it tomorrow. Drew will tell us, I guess, what he thinks of it in a couple minutes. We'll be joined by Drew. If you want to join us, that number is 713-780-3776. Me and Sean, we will be back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
Not at all, actually. Michael Carroll getting a little shine. He'll be back with us tomorrow. But let's get to Drew. He's going to join a show where all of us have seen Fantastic Four. We've got a non-respected reviewer, simply a a fan of the Marvel Universe, and now Drew. Drew, have you seen it? What do you think?
Yeah, hey, how y'all doing this morning, man? I listen to your show all the time. I was the dude that called in about Superman.
Yeah, I remember.
I think last week. Yeah, that Fantastic Four was a good movie. Like, I didn't think it was going to be, but it was a real good movie. And I could say Superman, his other, like, his co-stars or whatever was better than him or whatever. Like, Mr. Fantastic. I mean, not, yeah.
Mr. Terrific?
Yeah, and the Green Lantern was pretty good, too.
You know what? The guys around Superman, I think, did a really good job. I think you meant Mr. Terrific, who was kind of the technology guy. I think of the Green Lantern as the dude from Castle. I forgot, Nathan Fillion. He was also, he's been in some other stuff, too. Yeah, I would agree. Though the you wouldn't say that. Auxiliary pieces, the ancillary guys who were around, they were good. Hawkgirl was fine.
Superman had a super team around him.
Yeah, and some people were like...
Asterix on his ring.
It wasn't in the bubble. Metropolis wasn't in the bubble, Daryl Morey.
Asterix.
So you like Fantastic Four, right, Drew? So let's go with this. Who was your favorite character? Was it Thing? Was it Johnny Storm? Who'd you like the most?
I kind of like Thing because, like, he pretty much grew a beard in the movie. That was pretty crazy,
that
too.
That was funny,
like,
yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they did
And, like, he was going on his Italian side or whatever. Like, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, they did a good job with Thing. And, of course, at the very end, he gets the line off that was a kind of a running bit throughout the movie. I don't want to give too much away for people who have not seen it. It's only been out now a couple weeks now. But yeah, Fantastic Four, go see it. If you like what we like to talk about on Fridays, Michael Carroll, that's one of the good ones.
I have a question for Dell and I have a question for Drew. Jong and I last week had to, compare and rank Fantastic Four versus Superman.
Okay.
I now turn the question first to Drew. Which of these two movies did you like more?
Out of Superman and what's
Fantastic
the other,
Four. And Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four, for real, because, like, I was kind of seeing, like, they were trying to do the woke thing with the woman being pregnant, still working or whatever, but they fit it in right with Galactus trying to take the baby or whatever, so it kind of fit in right, but I kind of didn't like Silver Surfer that much because he was a dude at first or whatever. But they still had the same backstory behind it, so it was pretty good with that. So it was decent.
Appreciate it, Drew. Yeah, I have never been a giant Superman fan. It doesn't strike a chord with me that it does with others. So I like Fantastic Four more. Yeah, Sue Storm was actually the delegate and politician more than the husband was. Reed Richards was, and then Franklin Richards, who is the baby's. Apparently one of the more powerful beings in all of Marvel. So we'll see how that progresses as the Fantastic Four continue to be part of the MCU. Thanks for that, Drew. I agree. I'm not as down on Superman as he is, but if I'm rating the movies, I'm taking Fantastic Four over Superman.
Cornswell got carried, dude.
I like them as Superman. It's just
Jalen Hurts as Superman.
I don't know who Corn Sweat's Gilly is, but you better be careful.
that means Henry Cavill's Cam Newton.
the Cam Newton.
Jalen Hurts debate, which I can't believe is a debate.
It continues.
If you're an Eagles fan or if you're too young to have watched prime Cam Newton, that's the only two excuses for the Jalen Hurts side.
Yeah. If you want to back your dude, I get it.
Yeah,
hey. Jalen Hurts has won a Super Bowl, but if we really want to go by rosters, and what Jalen Hurts had and what Cam Newton had is not comparable, as far as particularly on the offensive side
and
of the
ball. That's you know look at what Henry Cavill had to work with.
Ben Affleck.
That was later.
Michael Shannon.
I do like Michael Shannon.
Yeah. What are we talking about here?
He's the Luke Kuechly.
Gal Gadot.
Ted Ginn.
Looks wise. She runs fast. She Devin just runs Funchess. Fast. She just runs fast.
Devin Funchess.
Nah, she's a little faster than Devin Funchess. She can make big plays. Not consistent, but she can make a play or two.
Amy Adams, Devin Funchess.
Compared to Rachel Brosnahan?
Yes. A.J. Brown.
Rachel Brosnahan is A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
One of the best to do it? Huh.
In the conversation.
Better than Kate Bosworth, huh? Better than Margot Kidder.
Not Margot Kidder, but Kate Bosworth. She's those Auburn receivers that never did anything in the league.
I'm thinking of a number 80. I can't remember his name.
Oh yeah, there's it was Marcel Lewis or something. I want to say it was just like yeah. I don't think the entire Auburn offense had a guy who played serious time in the NFL.
Yeah, if we're talking about
Trey Mason, I don't know.
Cody Burns, remember him? Yeah, if we're talking about supporting cast on the college and NFL level, Jalen Hurts and what he had far outseeds what Cam Newton had. Emery Blake was the 80 I was thinking of. He did have one Michael Dyer.
Oh, yeah. Michael Dyer was. People forget Michael Dyer was a problem.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, Trey Mason was on the other team. He was on the Nick Marshall.
He was, yes, the 2013 team who nearly won it all, if not for Kelvin Benjamin, speaking of former Panthers.
Yeah.
Making a touchdown Kelvin catch Benjamin. on that last drive with Jameis Winston.
Jimmy Olsen? No.
Who? Kelvin Benjamin? Jimmy Olsen. Jimmy Olsen was, no. No. Cut it out.
I think it's just funny to picture them comparing these two.
Jimmy Olsen, 5'7". Kelvin Benjamin, 6'5", 245 pounds, maybe heavier at his heaviest weight. Jerry, you want to talk Cam Newton and the Cardinals. Let's get to Jerry here before we go to break. What's up, Jerry?
Yeah, Cam Newton was great. I'm not going to remember the details or the years, but I'm a Arizona Cardinals fan. And Cam, what I remember from that game in the playoff, I just remember Cam Newton, like, tearing us apart, skipping down the field, huge smile on his face. Broke my heart.
Yeah, the worst part of dealing with Cam Newton was the joy he played with while he was murdering your team. That smile that, depending on what side of the ball you're rooting for, you might have thought was disingenuous because he was smiling to taunt you as opposed to just smiling because he was having a good time. He's just bigger, stronger than everyone on the NFL level, which made it nuts. There was a time that Cam Newton was the biggest force in all of football. Of course, he won an MVP, made a Super Bowl, and that's what led to Ryan Clark taking a shot at him for not diving on that ball. But Ryan Clark and Cam Newton have a rivalry that goes beyond that play.
What was the deal? Why should dove on that ball?
You still doing this thing 10 years later?
Come on.
Cam Newton's like, don't attack the man.
I'm just saying.
Attack the stats or the man's words, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to be fair of like, hey, we've been.
Well, we can't talk ball every time we talk ball. And I mean, something you don't like, you got to go back to when I didn't jump on that football.
No, it's not that. I'm not sitting here telling you Cam Newton was perfect. The ball thing is pretty bad.
For what? For who? Well, it was the Super
For
Bowl.
Him.
It was the Super
For
Bowl,
him,
Cam.
The Carolina
it
Panthers.
Was the Super Bowl, Cam. Not that that was his excuse.
Now, that the Cam Newton not jumping the ball, I would say, affected the game less than the fact that they started Mike Rimmert's opposite Von Miller. I think that mattered more. I will say that.
Once again, it's Cam supporting cast. A bigger problem, and in the bad way, even though that not jumping on the football was very glaring. It'll stand out. It'll be the one thing. It's the one thing you can't push aside because
yeah,
it's the one thing Cam.
So
it's the one thing Ryan Clark can go to when he's taking a shot at you. Of course, you can respond with Ryan Clark. I cannot relate. You were undrafted. I was number one overall pick. What were you? That was his response. To Ryan Clark's salvo against them. Of course, Paul Feinbaum had words for Cam Newton. I think we talked about that as well, where according to Paul Feinbaum, Urban Meyer said that Cam Newton was the worst player he ever had to coach, as far as having to deal with, not as a talent.
Cam Newton also mercenary first take contributor.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Just hit me.
And, you know,
I'm seeing it all now.
Shannon has his own thing, too, just like Cam does with 4th-and-1 with Cam Newton. If you don't know, this is in reference to the fact that Marcus Morris, Shannon Sharp, and now Gilbert Arenas have all run afoul of the law.
They're all part-time first-take contributors.
As I say, mercenaries. You might say freelancers or contributors on First Take. Cam Newton would fit the bill as well. I don't like it.
He's on Fridays. That's all I'm saying.
True. If you believe in it happens in threes, Cam Newton is safe. If you more like the Mount Rushmore thing, because it is summer during radio.
Yeah, oh yeah. Mount Rushmore of arrested ESPN personalities.
Mercenaries, yeah. Cam Newton could be on Mount Rushmore. Might even be, depending on the crime, the George Washington of Mount Rushmore. Who do you think is the George Washington right now of the list?
I think Shannon Sharpe's the most notable.
It's
just
true.
Because he was the, I guess, lead co-host Skip Bayless.
Stephen A.
Yeah, he's like, he was kind of positioning himself as the Skip Bayless. But as far as the crime themselves, I need more details to come out.
Yeah, the Shannon Sharpe thing.
I need more details on the Arenas thing.
It's murky, and we're not, now it's been positioned as not even a crime. It was a consensual thing that ended poorly, and now allegedly a settlement was agreed to, and the woman involved can now retire from OnlyFans, apparently. The other things haven't been settled yet, but they are positioned as crimes. We'll see what happens with Marcus Morris and Gilbert Arenas. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you have a potential George Washington of the ESPN First Take Mount Rushmore, let us know. Right now, he's free and clear, but Sean's thoughts on Cam Newton.
I'm just noticing a pattern.
The pattern is clear, and he would fit the pattern. Ex-athlete, contributor.
Part-time.
Part-timer on ESPN. I'm going to say Cam avoids this particular trend. It's not like Final Destination where it finds them all.
Yeah, he breaks the tackle.
Yeah, he jumps on the football in this case and avoids slander, scrutiny, and maybe some time behind bars. I don't know that Gilbert Arenas will face that or will have that happen to him. I don't know if that Marcus Morris will, but it's up for debate right now. We'll see how that plays out. All right, we got a couple more segments to go. We'll come back with the Reed Shepherd list. We'll hear from Carlos Correa as well because after diverting from, you know, hardcore Houston sports, it's time to kind of get back to that. But knowing this show, we won't. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I guess you would say, if you don't want to say it was a disappointing year for Reed Shepherd last year, you would say it was a surprising one as far as the lack of minutes he got. The fact that he wasn't someone that could take minutes away from Aaron Holiday. When he played, it's about 12 minutes a game. Reed Shepherd played in less than 55 games. You know, he's had a stint in the G League, put up 49 points, kind of proved that it was too good to be down there, had his moments when injuries put him in the starting lineup, and he had a couple nice games. But overall, it was one where he was deemed not essential to what the Rockets wanted to do and wasn't a real rotation player for a team who wound up being the 2 seed and, of course, disappointingly lost to the Warriors in 7 games in round one. But we could say that the guard rotation feels a little bit more open. Without, if you want to classify Dylan Brooks as the wing or slash guard, he's out of here. You've got, of course, Jalen Green out. The main acquisitions have been front court players. They did bring back Aaron Holiday, so you have a clear competition at that backup point guard spot. But there seems to be an opening for Reed Shepherd, and he makes a list of the most interesting sophomore players for the NBA coming up this season. He was part of a draft class that wasn't highly touted, certainly less so than the one we just saw get drafted, if only because of Cooper Flagg. That draft class has more hype. Then you've got the likes of Ace Bailey, who slipped, and Vijay Edgecombe. But overall, the 2024 draft class wasn't one people were that excited about. That's why people thought, after watching Reed Sheppard do what he did in Summer League, that he could be Rookie of the Year. That hype started even before then. Of course, that didn't come to fruition. So Reed Sheppard ranks as the most interesting player as a sophomore for the 25-26 season. There are other guys on the list, like Stephon Castle, who's going to play for the Spurs. You know, that one is interesting because he's got De'Aaron Fox there. They just drafted Dylan Harper. How is that all going to fit? Is he going to start? You would imagine that would be the case, and Dylan Harper would come off the bench. Zachary Richesse from the Hawks, Matheus Bouzelas, who had some nice moments with the Bulls. I start naming these guys, and like I said, not a who's who of guys.
Yeah, still not a great draft class.
Yeah, Nikola Topić from the Thunder, who was hurt all of last year, showed some things in Summer League. People, he was one of those guys who fit the meme of the Thunder won the title and they let them get this demon.
Yeah,
he fits that meme, and he's coming back. He's a big guard. And Jerry McCain, who had a nice start to his rookie year before he got hurt. So it's not a class that had a lot of accolades, other than someone has to win Rookie of the Year and someone has to make all rookie first team. There's a lot of that. Khalil Ware makes a list as well. Most notably, the Summer League, being called out by his coach for not trying that hard or not being a professional. So this is where the list is. It's not a lot of guys who showed out too much last year, even though Stephon Castle won Rookie of the Year. So Reed Sheppard, top of the list.
And most intriguing.
Most interesting, I believe. Most interesting sophomore in all of the NBA coming up. So congratulations, Reed, on your newest award. Hopefully you make these people right. Now, interesting.
Well,
I want him to be interesting. I do want him, because
it could be interesting in a bad way.
But if he, it depends on how the interesting goes, you're right. But if he is the same guy he was last year, getting spot minutes, can't beat out Aaron Holiday, not in the rotation, not interesting. I saw that already.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
So if he's going to be interesting for me, unless he's, you know, a complete disaster and he doesn't get out of the G League, that'd be interesting and would be something to ask Rafael Stone about, certainly. I need interesting to be he's playing where there are minutes to be had, and he becomes a guy who maybe ups his minute total to 20 minutes a night, because he is a guy you can depend on for scoring burst when Kevin Durant's off the floor. Because if you think about it right now, Alperen and Kevin Durant at this point, and even Alperen didn't have a great year last year around the rim. He didn't finish very well. That needs to get back to where he was the previous year. Who are your consistent scorers? Who are guys you can depend on to score right now on this team?
Those two guys, and then it's compliment, or, you know, guys you are more suited to be like the complimentary score types of, like, Fred VanVleet of Amin Thompson, everyone, you know, on the second unit running some offense, that kind of stuff.
They don't,
and getting out in transition.
They don't really have someone you can classify as, oh, that guy can go get us a bucket right now. Reed Sheppard can shoot. We'll see if he's mostly off ball.
Jabari Smith is like kind of like
still another guy who needs other people to, and he eats off of others. Like, he's going to be a guy who's going to space the floor.
Yeah. And he'll put the ball on the ground like twice.
And you joke that the Rockets don't want him to get to a third time. So
definitely not.
So
I don't. Well, I don't know what they want. I don't.
Yeah. So there is space for a guy who can just go get you a bucket and go get you multiples in spurts. And it feels like that's a role that Reed Sheppard can carve out if he can be trusted to do the other things.
It is interesting, though, like Reed Sheppard, even in these Summer League games, G League was a little different, but Summer League games, like, he's not like out there gunning it, too.
It's true.
So he is more of like he is just kind of point guardy.
He's more combo guardist than just a straight two.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the thing, and I'm not definitely not comparing him to this guy, but it's the same. Right now, it feels like he has the same issue that Steve Nash has talked about, where in his own career, Steve Nash now looks back and he's like, you know what? If I came up in today's league, like, I definitely would have shot more. Like, I just would have passed less and, like, looked for my own shot
would have
more.
Changed the course of Marion's career.
Right? Yeah, all those, more. You know, Quentin Johnson's like, you didn't have to. Or Quentin Richardson's like, you don't have to. But, yeah, I think there's some of that with Reed Sheppard, again, just in that, like, being the, like, either mental block or just not comfortable doing it. And, you know, in Reed Sheppard's case, it's like, I don't know if he's good enough. You know, Steve Nash, confident, was good enough that he could have taken four more shots a game and would have been fine. Reed Sheppard, I feel like, has some of that in him, too, where he was never, like, the guy on, like, a team where it's like, I just take every shot coming down the court. Like, the entire – I transferred seven times, and this is my fifth high school, and or this is the fifth high school team I've been on, and, yep, I'm just going to shoot every time. Like, he didn't really come up like that. Even when he was at Kentucky, he wasn't supposed to be a one-and-done.
And while I don't think an offense, at least with the second unit, would be centered around Reed Sheppard being the type of guy.
Yeah, being like Jordan
Cam Thomas, something
yeah,
like that.
Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I don't think that would be his role, but I think there's a role
you
for
a little
someone
bit
to be yeah. like that for a team who had trouble scoring. And while Kevin Durant will be looked at as a guy to close games because the Rockets had issues there, there are moments throughout the game where they certainly struggled at times.
Yeah.
So it won't always be Kevin Durant on the floor. It won't always be Kevin Durant available. So they're going to need to find ways to go get offense, and maybe Reed Sheppard is the guy for that. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We'll come back with, since the trade hasn't happened, maybe we can tell you, Carlos Correa can tell you his views on the trade, which when he spoke was probably about 26 hours or so ago, maybe 27, whenever the Twins game was over yesterday. But he didn't think the talks were serious, and it certainly has played out that way. And I'll kind of review some of the context of why a Twins and Astros trade hasn't happened as of yet. We'll hear from Carlos Correa when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to this from Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa was asked after yesterday's game for the Twins, which he wasn't a part of, and people were speculating, oh, what does that mean? Is he on his way out? No. As of yet, he is not an Astro, and there are some obstacles there that may make this deal a dead one. And I misspoke. He did play yesterday. No, he did not. It was Tuesday. His last game was Tuesday. So he was out yesterday. He was asked about a potential move to the Astros. Here's Carlos Correa on that.
I mean, I got full control, so we'll see how it goes. You know, you listen to the rumors and all that, and I feel like it happens every year, but you just got to let it play out.
Yeah, full control meaning you can decline anything.
Yes.
Yeah. If it is Houston that's interested, would you go back?
Well, that's not something that's, I don't think it's serious right now. So we'll see where everything goes, but, you know, My goal has always been to be here and win here. And, you know, I've been talking to Derek and Rocco, and I'll be ready for the next series.
Have you ever had to veto a trade before?
No.
Yeah.
Is it frustrating being in the position that you're going to have to talk about it, considering where the team is at right now and the position that you guys are in?
No, it's part of the job. It's part of the job and everything that comes with it. You got to embrace and you got to be available. So it's just part of it. You know, one thing that I really appreciate for this organization is the communication I have with Rocco and Derek and those guys, and you know, they keep me in the loop and things like this, so I get an idea of what's happening, and at the same time they're very honest with me, so I appreciate that from them.
So they have not formally brought anything to you at this point?
Not that will be any news.
That's Carlos Correa yesterday after the Twins game. The main reason why this hasn't happened, at least what's been reported, is financial reasons. The Astros want the Twins to pay $50 million of Carlos's $102.5 million, the remaining portion left on his contract. The Astros want the Twins to nearly pay half, and they also want an outfielder from the Twins. And the Twins are like, nah, it's not exactly what we're looking for. They would love, it appears, to trade Carlos. He is not someone financially they think will continue to be viable for them on their roster. They would want to make a move. I think the Twins are a team that's for sale. Generally occurs, high salary guys from a small market. When you're making a sale, you want to trade some of those guys to make yourself more appealing. Right now, the Astros are asking too much of the Twins. Well, the Twins aren't looking to acquiesce. So, according to Bob Nightingale, that deal is dead. The Astros did acquire an infielder of less acclaim. Wasn't a name that was on my radar. Now, I'm sure there are some baseball nerds who thought the Astros could really use Ramon Urias. I don't classify as a baseball nerd, so I did not have him on the list, but he is now an Astro. He's a body, OPS under 690. Take that for what it is.
Yeah, someone put the last 2 years of him and Mauricio Dubon next to each other, and it's like, all right, pretty even.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you like Dubon out there, just see another guy who's very similar at the plate. And so if you like and don't have any issue with Dubon, don't have any issue with Urias.
Yeah.
Even though he's not your guy. Dubon's been your guy, and I understand that part of the equation.
And Carlos Correa was my guy, too.
Yeah. But Carlos Correa is too damn expensive.
This guy's not my guy. Why did we trade for this guy? Does Jim Crane know we traded for this guy?
He's aware.
Okay.
I don't think they sneak things by him. I think he's a pretty involved owner. We'll see. We're about 5 hours away from the deadline. 5 o'clock Central is when the deadline hits. We'll see if the Astros make another move. You're going to have Paul Gallant out at Carbach along with the Killer Bees. So they'll continue to talk about it, and they'll be on air. The Astros do make a more consequential move than Ramon Urias. Is it Sandy Alcantara? That's the latest name. The Dylan Cease talk seems to have... What's the joke there, Sean?
The Dylan Cease?
There it is. I let you say it. I didn't want to say it. We're done. Join the guys out at Carbach, because if you do, you get a chance to win a cool prize from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. 2 e-bikes valued at about $4,000. Go out there, register to win. Meet the guys, get to the promo table, and register yourself to win as part of our summer circuit tour. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Shred up, Stroud!
But not too much, because you're on a pitch count. We'll talk to you tomorrow.